You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
We're talking about finding comfort in the love of God. And today we're focusing on resting in the assurance of His love. Now, resting in God's love involves surrendering worries and embracing His peace. Sounds good, right? It is a conscious choice to trust His care and His provision. It's not going to happen by accident. And so we have to make that decision consciously and intentionally. Pastor Carlos joins us once again to give us a deeper lesson on what this means, what it means to rest in the assurance of God's love. My pastor, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
All right. Before we get into it, as usual, we'll ask you to just pray for us.
All right. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your goodness that has given us life today. We pray that as we discuss, you may be with us and you may speak to us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, Pastor, what barriers prevent full surrender to God's love and care? I mean, it sounds good enough. It sounds good to rest in the assurance of His love. It sounds good to know that someone else is in control, someone who loves me. But something seems to be standing in our way that doesn't allow us to surrender fully. What are some of those barriers?
Well, there are several barriers that keep us from surrendering fully. One of them is, we are taught by life and by people who raised us or the society to be self-sufficient. You know, so we want to do things by ourselves. You know, we want to get things done. I remember the other day we talked about, you mentioned the example of the disciples in the boat. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to fix the problem on their own, you know. And this keeps us for a space of time from surrendering everything that we have into the hands of God. That kind of mentality, that kind of attitude, you know, that you can fix it. Mm. It puts God at the back seat. You know, we tend to resort to God after all our efforts fail.
Yeah.
Maybe to take it a little bit further, some people think they are surrendering when they are not, you know. You pray a prayer of surrender, you know, you're committing everything in, you know, in the hands of God or in the care of God, but you are still doing the same things which you were doing before you committed. You know, you are still, nothing has changed. Basically what I'm saying, for most of us, nothing has changed. We say we are surrendering, but our attitude, you know, is suggesting us otherwise. So when we do it like that, God does not take it as truly surrendering, because we are saying one thing with our lips, but our actions are saying another thing. So these are just to mention a few. I have spoken of how we are taught to be self-sufficient, and then we fail to render a genuine submission or surrender of everything into our hands of God. And this is one of the things that hinders us from trusting, you know, in God's love fully.
Yeah, yeah. And how do we then promote this culture of trusting in God, resting in His love? We as believers, we who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, what is our responsibility?
Well, we can promote this by being more practical.
Okay.
Yeah, if I were to give the briefest answer I could ever get, we can promote this by being more practical. We talk a big game on what the Bible teaches, and we can talk about this all day, but this is not what's going to inspire the community. You know, that that's going to show the community that truly God loves us. That's not it. It's not about teaching it, you know, the most effective way. No, the best way that we can promote this to our children in our houses, to our co-workers in our workplaces, to the community, you know, the people who live around you, is by living it out, you know, mm-hmm. by doing it. Jesus says, by this, when you love one, Jesus says to his, he tells his disciples to say, love one another. He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. That love, the active love, not the active love that the disciples would portray to one another, would be a marker, you know, to everybody out there that indeed these are the disciples of Christ.
Mm, mm. Beautiful, beautiful. And what are some of the practices that we can have that would help individuals to cultivate a sense of spiritual rest?
Well, that would help individuals cultivate a sense of spiritual rest. There are several things which we've been talking about, and if you've noticed, we've been talking about them from different, just from slightly different dimensions every day. I'll just list them, but I'll try to get into some other things. We spoke of Bible study. We spoke of prayer, a culture of prayer, and a culture, an attitude of submission. These things would help believers get into, you know, feel more safe in the arms of God.
Mm.
But there are many other things, because today we're talking of I'm just speaking of being more practical.
Yes.
You know, yes, being more practical how we do this, moving from the theories, you know, into a more practiced Christianity.
Yes.
And at an individual level, it begins from your attitude towards your problems. When we cultivate an attitude where, when we say that we trust God,
mm-hmm.
we truly trust Him, we will learn to leave everything in the hands of God. There are many times that I've seen, I myself have experienced this before, where I am praying for something, but I still have my hands, you know, I'm still actively engaged. You know, I'm still anxious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. The Bible says, "Be anxious about nothing." When you leave it in the hands of God, you leave it there.
Yeah.
You know, when you take it in the place of prayer, you leave it there. So some of these things can help foster this and make it more practical, even at a personal. At a personal level, we need to live out what we believe in, and by doing this, we build ourselves into a deeper realization of God's love. Yes, we know that God loves us, but when we embody that belief that God loves us, and we live this out in our lives, our conviction and our experience with God's love becomes deeper.
Yeah.
And it does not only benefit us, but it benefits the people around us, because they are seeing what we are doing. They are seeing how we are responding, you know, to our problems. They are seeing if truly we have submitted this to the Lord and we've left it there, or we have not.
And you know what I think the challenge tends to be for many of us is that even while we claim that we've given our situation to God, we've surrendered it to God, it's difficult to do nothing. Like we feel like, I mean, I can't do nothing. I have to do something. Yeah. I can't expect Him to just throw the blessing into my lap. Surely I have a role to play. And instead of waiting for His instruction, a clear instruction telling us, okay, this is what I need you to do, just like He did with Moses, right? He told Moses, go and tell Pharaoh. He didn't tell him, try and convince him and then use this tech. No, just go tell him. And
yes.
Then he's going to say no, it's okay. You'll go and ask him again, tell him if he doesn't, then this is what's going to happen. So God is doing everything. Moses has no power to turn water into blood. He has no power to bring frogs and, you know, all the different plagues. Moses doesn't have that power. But God instructed him to go and tell him, things are about to get really messy around here if you don't do what I'm telling you. And I think that's where we struggle, that, okay, I've told God, but He hasn't said anything. So in the meantime, let me also try. Let me see what I can do. Because it just doesn't make sense to just sit and wait. And I don't know how we draw the line between just being idle and waiting for God to throw a blessing into your lap versus, you know, waiting to hear his voice and saying, okay, God has said now I must move. God says now I must apply for this job. God says now I must,
yes,
you know, do this extra course to upskill myself. Whatever, instead of making my own decision, waiting for God to tell me, sometimes can feel like I'm just sitting and doing nothing.
Exactly. I get your point there. In Proverbs, the Bible would says, acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. So
yes,
it is crucial to know that we are, when you're waiting for guidance, and the difference between you waiting for guidance and you being truly directed into what God wants you to do. Ellen White says, pray and work in harmony with your prayers.
Mm.
So we are to present and leave things in the hands of God, but then we are also to work in harmony with our prayers. But it's a bit tough, like you've said, it's a bit of a hard one to distinguish between you just sitting idly,
mm,
and you trying to do everything in your efforts.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Perhaps let me illustrate, just to try to distinguish. If let's say we are talking about employment.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I know that I don't need to sit back, you know, and wait. I need to go and apply to as many places as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go and apply to as many places as I can. But there are some people who take it a step further. You know, they know they have prayed about it. They have applied. But maybe there is something else that they can do, you know, to you know, maybe earn the favor of the people,
right,
you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And this leads to anxiety. You know, this leads to, because when we begin to engage ourselves in things that we've presented that we've given to God, when we begin to get to put ourselves so much into it, we tend to convince ourselves that we are the ones in control.
Mm. 100%.
You see?
Yeah.
Yeah, we tend to grab control of the situation.
Yeah.
And this will lead us to having so much anxiety, and we will be so uncertain because now it's in our hands. But when you do things with the attitude and, you know, with the mentality that, okay, I have done my part and I have presented it to God, mm, and you leave it there. I think that's where the line is drawn.
Yeah, yeah, beautiful. Yeah, it's an interesting one because, like you're saying, there is this idea that it's going to succeed because I have done this. We think it's in our control, it's in our power.
Yes.
And yet you'll find that with the highest qualifications, then you still don't get that job.
Exactly.
And
with that, the guarantee seems to be based on what you have done.
Correct.
And not what God is doing. You say, okay, I applied, but I also did this and this and this.
That's it. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And so you spoke about the fact that will then bring about anxiety and, you know, you start getting stressed out because you're taking on burdens that shouldn't be yours, that God wants to carry for you. How does resting in God's love actually impact our mental and emotional well-being?
Well, when we rest in God's love, number one, we know that that there is nothing that he cannot withhold any good thing from us.
Amen.
There is no good gift,
yeah,
that he can withhold from us. So that alone should keep us reassured despite whatever life brings, that, mm-hmm, God has the best in mind for us. Like the Bible says in Jeremiah, it says, I know the plans I have for you. It says, they are good plans.
Mm.
They are plans to bring you to a good place.
Yeah.
You know, that must reassure us, you know, and that alone must wipe away all sorts of, must wipe away anxiety, you know, and must give us this strong sense that he loves me. And he has the best for me, you know. So, mm, despite what life can bring to you, or despite how hopeless your situation may seem, we don't need to be anxious.
Yes.
Because when we portray anxiety and things like fear, we're actually declaring ourselves godless. That, in my opinion, because in Isaiah 49, where it says, "Fear not," it says the Bible says it must be Isaiah 49 verse 10 somewhere there. It says, "Fear not, for I am your God." You see, that's how that verse begins. "Fear not, for I am your God," implying to us that because He is our God, we don't need to fear. So when we have fear and anxiety and all sorts of things, we are declaring a lack of confidence in God's abilities, you know, or in God's love, you know, because only the one who does not rest in God's love will have things like anxiety and fear, because they are uncertain of what life will bring to them. When we harbor such things like fear and anxiety, we are declaring, it's a declaration that you're insecure. You know, you have nobody to protect you. If I had nobody to protect me, and say I have a whole lot of money, and I live in this apartment, and there's no bodyguard, I would definitely live in anxiety. You would definitely be so anxious. You know, that people are after you. You know, so but when there is the best security, you know, in the premises, you would rest without fear or anxiety, because you know that whatever tries to attack you, those people have you. They are there to protect you.
Mm.
Now think about it, that when we rest in God's love, knowing that He has our back and He is there to protect us. You know, in Romans, the Bible says, if God be for us, who shall stand against us?
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
So this must do away with all sorts of anxiety and fear when we rest in God's love, knowing that there is nobody that can be against us. You know, who shall bring, the Bible in fact says, who shall bring a charge against God's elect?
Hey.
You know?
That's powerful. That's powerful. I was just thinking as you were speaking, because earlier on I had mentioned to the listeners that one of the things that brings me great comfort in the assurance of God's love, knowing God's love, is when things are difficult or when I'm going through a season of whatever challenge, and especially when that season is particularly difficult or it is for an extended period of time. When I'm going through that, I'm not in a rush to get out of it anymore like I used to be. I'm not in a rush for God to take away the pain quickly, because now understanding His love and understanding that He loves me so much that if He's allowing this, there's a reason. He knows what He's doing. I have comfort in whatever I'm experiencing. Sometimes you'd feel like, oh, is it a punishment for something I've done? Have I done something and God is angry with me? And, you know,
exactly.
Now I'm able to realize that, no, He loves me so much that if He's allowing this, there's a reason. I might not understand it. It might not even be for me. He might be doing this or allowing this in my life for someone else's benefit, for someone else to see something of Him in me. Whatever it is, the bottom line is I know He loves me. And if He's allowing me to go through this, then I can go through this. It's fine. I'll take it. He gives me the strength to endure it and all of it. So I find comfort in that. I find assurance and peace in that. And that helps with anxiety. Does that mean I never get anxious? Of course not. But that is how my anxiety gets quelled. When I come back to realizing, when I come back to remembering that God is in control and He loves me so much. So this thing that I'm going through, He knows why it's happening. It's fine. I'll take it. And he's been so faithful to me in throughout the years in that regard, just always reminding me that, sister, calm down. I'm in control. I'm taking care of it. You're my child. Relax. Just trust me. And I'm learning little by little. I'm learning to trust Him. And for sure, there is peace in resting in God's love.
Amen.
And as we're closing, what promises do we have that we find in Scripture that would reinforce the assurance of God's love and His care?
Well, from Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite verses is Romans chapter 8, verse 32. It says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up to us, how then shall he not freely give us all things?" That if he did not spare his own son, how will he not give us freely all things? His son is given to us as an act of love for us, to save us. And what are the situations or the circumstances that we find ourselves in compared to his son? You see? Mm-hmm. So he gives us the biggest assurance of his love in the gift of his son. And so he says, if I gave you my son, the rest of these things are nothing to me. The rest of our problems, the rest of our anxiety, the rest of our financial crises, our sicknesses, they are nothing to him, because he gave you the greatest gift heaven could give. He gave you Jesus. So I find this as something very reassuring to me, that he loves me, he gave me the best. And so because he gave me the best, all these things are small issues. Are small issues to him. He can indeed take care of them. You see. Yeah. So whenever I feel unloved or anxious or whatever, fear, whenever I am afraid, when I look at this verse, I see that truly there's nothing to fear.
Yeah.
Because all these things are beneath his son.
Amen.
You know, all these things are small issues. They are small things compared to what he has already given us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you once again, Pastor. We'll be closing off this conversation tomorrow, same time, same place. Thank you so much for coming through today.
Okay, thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.